That actually sounded really good.
Excellent.
What an intro.
Let off again. The ninth time or whatever.
All right.
Yeah, here
you
we
recorded
are.
All of that, right?
Yeah. Still recording.
Okay, good.
I'm still currently recording.
Okay.
It's all on. It's all captured.
Okay. So
this
it
is
March 1st,
yes,
2015. It is a Sunday, 10:57 a.m.
15:57.
My name's Ryan. Oh.
Exactly. Completely different time zone over here. Your name is Ryan, yeah.
All right. What is your name?
My name is Liam.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a good thing we found
your name
out.
Was Neil.
Oh. Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah. I'm not good with memories.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I've gone through a lot. Anyway, so you wanted to talk to me about some stuff.
On this podcast of ours, which we are
on this podcast.
This Words That Kill cast, or whatever the hell we
called
it.
Words That Kill podcast. Mm-hmm. Just Words That Kill podcast.
I feel like I still prefer Words That Kill cast, though. It kind of flows. It flows a lot easier. Words That Kill cast. It has that alliteration at the end. Words That Kill
right.
cast.
I feel like that's something a
good for marketing,
Nazi.
Man. Come on, I've got to think about the marketing here.
I feel like that's something a Nazi would say in World War II. Where's the kill cast? Like, oh, jeez. No, that's where we put the babies. Don't do that.
Well,
but then the Nazis were never up to anything good, so that makes sense.
They also weren't recording podcasts, as far as I know, so I feel like we're okay in that regard.
Yeah, that shit didn't even exist back then. Mm-hmm. You know the internet didn't exist back then?
So I've heard. I
Isn't
don't know
that
how
crazy?
The hell you lived without the internet. Jesus Christ, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably why Hitler got all mad and shit. Like, I'm gonna go make the internet, and everyone's like, no, it's not ready yet. And then there's the alternate history World War II movie starring Denzel Washington.
Man, if fucking Hitler had a Tumblr, there'd be some good reading.
Let's not talk about that.
Fair enough.
Okay, so you wanted to talk to me about Resident Evil Revelations 2,
yep.
The hot new downloadable episodic title on the PlayStation Network and other things.
And other things, not PlayStation, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do, yes,
so,
because, you know,
so
I...
tell me about it.
Well, I don't know, where do we even begin? That's the...
Well,
that's the
what
the
is point. Resident Evil Revelations 2?
Resident Evil Revelations 2 is this weird anomaly, because it's not, like, it's not the next numbered Resident Evil game. This is not Resident Evil 7, this is...
Isn't it?
Is not, no. This is a sequel to the original Resident Evil Revelations, which in itself is technically a spin-off. Originally released on the 3DS, and then it received a HD version the year after... on PS3, Xbox 360, PC.
And it was good. I played it. I liked it.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was kind of middling. That's the weird thing. That's kind of what, again, adds to this whole perception of Revelations being an anomaly, because it is technically a spin-off, but it's not really that distinctive. These games are still ultimately third-person shooters.
Right.
Yeah, but I thought Revelations was okay. I feel like it is definitely... people have maybe perhaps been a little lax on it because of where Resident Evil is currently. I feel like standards for the fucking Resident Evil brand has, you know, hit some really fucking hard times, hit rock bottom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I don't think Revelations was great, but I feel like it was a promising start to what could maybe lead into something where they actually do try to do this blend of the old and the new, the contemporary shooty Resident Evil and some aspects of the survival horror Resident Evil, which is basically pre Resident Evil 4. But then we have Revelations 2, and well, it's primarily just a shooter. Like it has some of its uniquities, it has some of its own quirks, but it's still basically a shooter. Besides the budget, this could very easily exist as Resident Evil 7, I feel like. Well, kind of. But regardless of what Revelations 2 is, like, for what it is, I think Revelations 2 is okay. It may still be primarily a shooter, but it is definitely the Revelations brand, the Revelations subseries does kind of try to take its own course ever so slightly.
Like, if this were Resident Evil 7, Episode 1 would have started with Claire being beaten to death by a giant monster in China somewhere, and then Barry Burton comes in and he just starts shooting one-liners, and there's so much bloom and lens flare going off, and there's jets flying all over the place, and it would be a mess, because that's where they're going with their main series. It seems like they want to... With Revelations 2, they wanted to take it down a notch, but they weren't sure how... So you've got a lot of interviews with the producers talking about, oh, well, The Last of Us proved that you can have a modern-day mainstream horror game, and so we're gonna take some inspiration from that. And then you've got this thing where it seems like they've taken all this inspiration, but they didn't know where to put it.
Yeah.
And so it's a Revelations 2, at least the first episode, I'm really holding out here that it picks up. It's troubled.
Yeah.
It doesn't know what it wants to do, but it does it. It does something. It does something, and it's not...
That's kind of all you can ask for at this stage, because like after the fucking abysmal Resident Evil 6, I feel like that's kind of...
Yeah.
This is still an improvement. And I played, I think this is also an improvement over the first Revelations. I at least think the gameplay is better. I do enjoy...
Yes.
I think the shooting itself is pretty satisfying, although I am pretty perturbed that there's no laser sights. They released a video showing you being allowed to switch between the regular classic... bland crosshair and going to the crosshair, but that was not in the options. I guess they're saving that for later episodes, if not the physical release. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, no
that
laser
is weird.
Sight, no laser sight, but
yeah, that was that didn't bother me as much as I thought it would.
It didn't bother me too much. It's fine. It works for what it is. You know, the shooting feels, it has a lot more impact. Enemies react pretty well to bullets. I like how enemies react. The sound effects are pretty good. The movement is weird. The movement took some getting used to. Like, this does not quite feel like any other Resident Evil shooter that I've played.
No, that's what took me by surprise a little bit. I don't know. I played it, and then I played a lot of raid mode, and it's like, it just feels...
slow.
Different. Yeah. It feels like they looked at The Last of Us, because it feels like The Last of Us to me. I should probably just say that.
Yeah, sort of. For me, it actually reminds me of Lost Planet. It actually reminds me of the Lost Planet
series.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like... Well, Lost Planet was perhaps a little more sluggish, a little more animation-heavy than Revelations 2, but, like, the pacing of the movement, the way you kind of... the movement looks kind of swimmy, almost. There's something about it. It is very slow. And, you know, with Resident Evil, like, Resident Evil is... Like, even Resident Evil 6, to a certain degree, like, the movement was still... It still had a slight stodginess to it, which felt intentional. Resident Evil has always managed to stand, even the shooter entries have always managed to stand out amongst the crowd of third person shooters because of the way their movement handles and all. This is a Japanese shooter, by and large, for the most part. But the movement is definitely what first took me by surprise. But I got used to it surprisingly quickly though. Like I did not feel like I was at that much of a disadvantage. The movement was definitely the first thing that took me off guard. But then you also have the co-op, though. I mean, that's kind of...
Yeah.
Like, this series is... Ever since Resident Evil 5 was the first, they have been experimenting with co-op for a while now, and I was excited. I thought what they were doing for Revelations 2's co-op sounded really interesting, because, like, ordinarily, when you think of co-op for most games, it's just like, oh, here's another guy or a girl with a gun. You know, this is just like... They can typically use the same guns. They're primarily just like a skin. They just exist as another gun at your side. You know, Dead Space 3 done it, obviously Resident Evil 5 and 6. But Revelations 2 is taking it down a different route because...
Oh, yeah.
There are two different segments to this. You start off as Claire, and then you have Barry. And Claire and Barry, they play as a Resident Evil protagonist. But then you have Moira and Natalia, respectively. And they can't use guns. Neither of them can use guns. Like, Natalia is like a little girl, and Moira is just like, I don't know, girls.
Natalia can point.
She's really good at pointing.
Yo, look at that. Absolutely. Check that shit out, Barry.
He's a monster. Yeah.
Funny, I actually found Natalia more useful than Moira, even though she's useless. They're both useless, but
I think Moira earns a keep. My apologies, Natalia. Moira, oh boy, she is, I'm not surprised why it took Barry that long to finally come and rescue her, because Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No rush there.
So I was actually really excited when they announced that, or when I heard, rather, because I don't think I paid much attention to talk about this game, because I wanted to go in as cold as I possibly could. I was really excited about how Moira didn't use a gun. She had a flashlight. Yeah. She could help Claire. I thought, wow, it kind of sounds like Ellie from The Last of Us, but it's different, because it's not, you know, it's just in a different setting, and
although,
so everything
although
could
she
be different.
Still, she is still basically Ellie, though. They have took some very obvious inspirations. Moist Barrel of Fox was one classic one.
Yeah.
That's gonna go
oh, boy.
The ages.
Put
right
that
next
on
the
t-shirts.
Oh yeah.
T-shirts for all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I played as Moira, and I'm like, this is a joke, right? This is like somebody's gonna come on the screen and like, yo, you fell for it, ha ha ha. But no, she really is. She, oh, she just stood there the entire game. For me, you know, you hear like, oh, she's Moira's not that bad. She helps me.
It's like
and
those,
I'm like, how?
All those complaints of like Chef of Mori 5, you know, they're going to be so amplified for Revelations 2.
She's Ashley, but worse. Mm. She stands around because you could tell Ashley, hey, fuck off, or hide in this barrel.
Stick her in
or
a
box.
Bin for a little while, yeah, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a video that I took. It was hilarious. I had to stop for a minute just because it totally broke the tension and the mood. And really, there's not that much tension in that whole episode. She's just standing there right in front of an enemy, and she's been standing there for a while. And so I run away to try to pull her away from the enemy, and she's not going anywhere. So then I tell her, hey, follow me, using the commands. And she's like, eh, maybe later. And then she gets her fucking head knocked in by a monster.
She's a young adult. She's a for, you know, she's anti-authority. She's like, no, you're the boss of me.
Of course,
shit on a stick. You fucking fucker, you.
Subverting expectations, the Capcom way.
But at the same time, fuck technology, apparently.
Yeah.
What? I don't know, it's like, I feel like Capcom are getting the signals crossed between how the young adults interact these days. That seemed very bizarre to hear that. But
hey,
boy,
to hold my phone. Ah, fuck technology. I don't even have a Twitter account. Look at how edgy I am. But see, maybe that's the thing. Maybe they're trying to take her edgy into like a meddy edginess because they're going like, oh, this is a teenager who doesn't like technology. What's a Tumblr? She's got no idea. You know, like, wow, it's so unbelievable.
Tumblr? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, bottom line is Moira kind of sucks. Like, the character itself is fine. I can understand why. I can certainly understand why some people may find her comically abundance of swearing to get kind of groan-worthy. And it feels really forced. Again, it feels like Capcom are trying too goddamn hard. But
I didn't mind the voice actor. It's whenever she swears, it's just like, oh, really? Oh, my sparrow fucks.
Yeah,
really?
Shit on a stick. Yeah.
Like, did anyone write
nobody
this?
Nobody thinks. Nobody puts those words together into a sentence naturally. That they are a combination of words that someone who is writing a script thinks of together. Think, oh, I'm so weird and unique and quirky. but the problem with Moira is that she just doesn't earn a keep. She just feels like she just gets in the way.
She
can't use guns. So her only method is to.
She doesn't like guns.
No, apparently
she doesn't
not.
Use guns
which is like, it's kind of
like
for God's
which
sake.
Which is funny because her dad is Barry Burton.
A gun nut. Yeah, absolutely.
He is a gun. He's gonna take off his mask, and he's been a gun the whole time.
A barrel, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like he's gonna have one of those fucking those gun cob pieces down his pants, that from Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh jeez.
Tom Savini's character. Oh yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah,
oh my.
I wouldn't be surprised at the end of it. That'd be a pretty all right unlockable though. But
absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, she doesn't use guns. She has the flashlight and. Her primary
See,
role
I,
is to be
I was
to be like,
excited for that again because
yeah, exactly,
I thought,
like,
oh, the character who uses
like,
a flashlight.
She's not just someone there who's just meant to act as like another Claire.
Yeah.
It's just someone else with another gun.
She can find hidden items in the world. Oh, that's so cool. Then you get to switch to her, and I thought it was a really cool dynamic, but the problem became very quickly apparent when I switched from Claire to Moira and then found that Claire was equally useless when the AI was controlling her. Because unless you finish a chapter and buy an upgrade, they will actually not use their guns. They will literally stand there and do nothing. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll, you know, do a follow-up attack. Maybe they'll
sometimes,
do something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but they will literally stand
the
there.
AI, but
like,
can,
that is not that is not like an opinion, you know. They will not do a thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is that? That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of people really didn't like Sheva, the AI for the Sheva. I've always thought Sheva was actually surprisingly competent. Like, as long as you stuck with a machine gun and a sniper rifle, she was golden for the most part. As long as you yourself used, like, a different primary weapon, for example, as Chris, you'd use a handgun, you'd give her with a submachine gun or whatever. Like, for me, from my perspective, from my experience, I always thought Sheva was pretty alright. You know, she would kill stuff, she would totally, you know, she would back you up. But Moira, she's a fucking, she just runs around like a headless chicken. She's useless. Like, there's this part where you got those saw blades, don't you? And they're sort of, like, swaying from left to right on, like, a rail, on a predetermined rail, and, like, she would at times just stand there. I guess she's obviously trying to like wait for it to like, you know, go past it, she can run through. But the thing is, what I found out is that the AI is actually invincible. They are invincible to the environmental hazards when they are controlled by the AI. But still, she would actually just stand there, and then she ultimately ended up getting knocked down by one of those fucking hammerhead fuckers because she just wouldn't move. She just wouldn't fucking move. She was clearly waiting to run past until the coast was clear to run past the spike thing.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Deus Ex Human Revolution. I was playing that about a month ago. And just a quick aside here, and I was listening, I had the director's cut, and I was listening to the director's commentary. And in the first level, when you're in Detroit, when you do that first mission, you're like, oh, you gotta hurry up, the hostages are gonna die. That was actually the first stage they created for Deus Ex. And so you might not notice, but enemies can't actually leave rooms because that AI is so much older than the rest of the AI in the game that they don't know how to cross like a door line. They don't know how to walk through a door or change rooms. And so I'm just standing there looking at Moira like, why? Did they not come back? Is she better in the future? I don't know. And now I'm paranoid that I didn't like it. The AI was severely unimpressive. Yeah.
And, you know, you can play co-op, but only local only for whatever the hell reason. That just makes no sense. Like, if you're going to have co-op, I don't understand why they wouldn't have co-op.
See, thank you for the segue there. I actually played through the both chapters through co-op. You could actually use SharePlay to split screen over the internet, which is hilarious and amazing that exists.
A weird loophole, yeah.
Yeah, and so I actually found out that the game, oh my god, this is, now see, oh man, I don't even know how to explain. The game is so much better in co-op because aside from the fact that your companion is infinitely more useful when in the hands of a real human being, the game works differently in co-op mode. For example, when you play single player, you can see all the little shiny bits all around the world, so you know to switch to Moira or Natalia to, you know, shine on them and pick them up. But when you're playing single player, only the companion can see the shiny things in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really cool that they went that far to really give
her own perspective.
She has her own abilities. She brings her own thing to this, and I thought that was great. But of course, it's not available over the internet. So maybe the usefulness of that is not. Yeah, I don't know.
Who was
maybe
playing
one
Moira?
Day.
Were you Moira or was your friend Moira?
I was Claire.
Okay, so the other player was Moira. How did he find it then? Like, was it kind of boring to play as Moira? Because, you know, you shouldn't have a gun. She's primarily just shining your torch at people.
Well, to put it bluntly, the chapter was so short that when we finished it, it was like, well, that was like nothing. We finished that in 27 minutes? Yeah, that was...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It goes so quickly. There's no lull. You know, there's no boring aspect. And also, you know, it was really fun to sit there and watch enemies get stunned so you can run up and hit them and knock them down and then Moira runs up and impales them.
That's the idea, but on single player, that rarely ever seems to go to plan.
Yeah. I think I saw Claire kick a dude one time, and then I impaled him, and I was like, yeah, I did it, and then that was it.
Success!
And then I beat the chapter. Yeah,
that kind of is one of my primary complaints. However, though, when you get to Barry's segment, that's where things actually pick up, because, as we mentioned earlier, Natalia is actually surprisingly useful. She has her own little detective vision sort of thing, her own Batman vision thing going on, so she can, like, spot enemies and all that, and...
And the relationship between them is just so adorable, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like, the Barry's segment, the second segment following Barry is a pretty huge... improvements over Claire's, like Barry himself, they've actually done pretty good by Barry. I was always confused by that. Like, what do you do with Barry? How do you return to Barry in 2015? How does that even work? Because Barry was primarily characterized by having some of the most quote unquote best lines in what is a pretty infamously bad translation.
He's like the fan favorite in a cult classic. Like, everyone's quoting that guy. It's hail to the king, baby, and also I have this.
But it's also
completely
unintentional. It's also completely unintentional. So then what do they do? Because it just like it kind of reminds me of when they realized that Frank West, I've covered Wars, you know, line was something of a meme. So then whenever they would introduce Frank West into anything new, like Case West or Off the Record, they would fucking hammer home that fucking I've covered Wars, you know, and I felt like, are they gonna do this for Barry? Are they gonna just fucking amplify the amount of pandering to just, you know, the fucking heavens? Is it gonna be super?
And they kind of did,
but I like the way
they did it.
They did though, yeah. They did make a couple of allusions, like Claire has. I was almost a Claire sandwich, and I was like, really? Holy shit!
I thought that too. When she said that, I was like, oh, really? I knew this. But then Moira's like, ugh, does Barry tell everyone that story?
Like,
and I'm like, oh, yes.
I like how they contextualize it. But the best one is when he opens the gate with the logs.
Yeah.
Who's the master of unlocking now? that was some pretty good stuff. Also, apparently, that is also taken into account that the very original is the canon version. Like, that dialogue happened. Because, like, the remake has a different script. Like, he doesn't say Master of Unlocking in the remake, so the very 1996 original, that script, those lines of dialogue, that is the canon script. That is a part of his history.
Makes you wonder if Chris is just sitting there, or Jill is sitting there and is like, why did Wesker tell me not to open that door so weird? Now that I think about it, he sounded kind of off. You think that follows them? Well, I mean, it must follow Barry.
I feel like they're all, but at the end of that mission, they're all sitting there in their rooms, all alone, quite like, what was I doing? What happened? What was in that mansion? Like, maybe the fear got to them, I guess, and their brains kind of, don't know, fucking 180, and all their brain just could not seem to form sentences properly. But yeah, I think that's a funny little quirk.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed that. I like to think that Barry is this goofy dad now, but because it works, you know, the over dramatized.
Don't wear it out. I feel like Barry. That's what I was saying. Yeah, like Barry feels like Barry. They got him right.
Yeah, they got him.
This feels like a modern reimagining of Barry. There is a weird goofiness to him and all that, like a crazy uncle sort of thing and all that. And obviously some of his lines are pretty awkward and silly, but it's just tongue in cheek enough. It doesn't feel overly pandering. Like, they have a really good balance of making Barry feel familiar yet surprisingly believable. In fact, one of the best parts, one of the most surprisingly likeable parts about Revelations 2 was the writing and the characters. Like, the voice acting is, I mean, the voice acting is always, for the longest time, ever since like RE5, the voice acting has always been surprisingly okay. Even RE6, the voice acting was perfectly acceptable, because it's got fucking Troy Baker. I like that's fucking A-list cast in our Invisible Six. And I feel like Revelations 2 definitely carried the torch in that. Like, Capcom are improving. They are most certainly improving.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah, bit by bit. It's going to take them another 10 years before
it's going to take them until Uncharted 4 comes out, and they're like, ah, yes, this is the dialogue we need.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the story itself is pretty, it's pretty basic. Like, Claire and Moy have been kidnapped. They're like, well, we've got to escape, and that's basically their segment. And then Barry's like, well, I got to rescue them, and that's basically his story. That's currently the story at hand so far. The story itself is pretty simple, pretty bare bones, but like, the execution, again, the writing, the dialogue and all that. As you said, the dynamic, like, the character dynamics between Natalia and Barry, it feels pretty natural. It feels pretty cute, you know.
It just feels natural when you have Moira, when you just play as Moira going, ah, fuck this, fuck that, fuck technology, ah, fuck, and then you go to, like, oh, my name's Barry, don't wear it out. You're okay, this works. I don't know why the last one didn't work. I don't know.
I also noticed how it didn't really take him a lot of persuasion to really take this little girl with him into this fucking hellhole.
Yeah. It's like, he's a dad. I've got an appearance. You can't just leave him on a boat. They're going to fall into the ocean, get eaten by sharks. Barry might be a goofy dad, but he's not going to let some little girl get eaten by sharks, man. Mm. Come on.
I guess you're right. Jeez. I mean, he doesn't seem like he's a very good dad, I suppose. I mean, considering the friction that is going on between him and Moira. I mean, that's obviously what's going on. Like, yeah, I guess that's also true. I can't blame him, frankly.
She's clearly going through that edgy teen phase,
I suppose.
Well, stick it to the man. Mm-hmm. That's why she joined a humanitarian group.
Exactly. It's all yeah, but she also hates technology, and there's the one twist to that character archetype. But
That's still not sure how to feel about that. Well, I do, actually. I know. I don't like it. I wrote up a thing on the internet, and I didn't care for any of that Claire section to the point that I thought, you know, seeing how good I found the
Claire's
Barry
was very tutorialized. Like, a lot of Claire's episode was still mostly the tutorial. And that's understandable,
that's the thing. I feel like the whole first episode was a tutorial, which is very strange, because I was waiting for the game to begin, you know? I was waiting for it to happen, and I don't feel like, even after Barry's chapter or section,
Barry's chapter
there,
was really easy. Chapter was really goddamn easy.
That's what really struck me, is because, you know, they're talking like, oh, this is a return to survival horror that you've all been waiting for, and then you start as
Capcom,
Barry, and you've
Capcom's
got three
fucking
guns.
Exactly, and one of which is a fucking assault rifle, for God's sake. Like, a Magnum, he starts off with his fucking Colt Python Magnum, which is pretty sweet. That's a pretty nice throwback. And his Samurai Edge pistol, his own unique Samurai Edge pistol, which I really, which I really liked. But yeah, he starts off with a fucking assault rifle, like, right then and then. Ammo is never a problem. Ammo definitely did dwindle in Claire's portion, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I had to save my shots.
I mean, maybe that's what it's going to be like then, like, per each segment. Like, Claire's will be a little more Survivor Horror-ish, or rather these days, Survivor Horror Shooter-ish. Akin to the likes of, say, The Evil Within or The Last of Us. And Barry's just like, hey, it's RE4, mostly. Yep. Sort of.
And so here's the funny thing about the ammo aspect of the game. So I
enemies
went back
don't
and
drop
played...
Ammo. That's at least one thing that they've kept from the first Revelations. Enemies do not drop ammo, which sticks out from the likes of RE4, 5, and 6.
It led to an interesting discovery when I went back through the chapters again. And I noticed that I still didn't have any ammo. Because apparently when... Yeah, apparently when you restart the chapter after beating it, you don't get new ammo. You have your old ammo.
But
so.
You also obviously keep the upgrades you've already spent your points.
Yeah, in fact, when you start out, as soon as Claire walks out of her cell, there's a workbench right in front of her. I thought that was pretty funny. And also, there's a workbench on Barry's boat, which I just thought was hilarious. He's like, "Oh, I can't forget this," and he puts it on the goddamn boat.
He has this. He has that.
Yeah, so that was weird. I played through it again, and I didn't have any Magnum ammo, and I was really low on assault rifle ammo, and I'm like, so am I just not going to have any ammo anymore? If I keep playing this, will I just have less and less? And I guess so, because it never gave me any more ammo for those guns.
Although,
Natalia,
there's always more to find, because again, you know, Natalia and Moira, that's kind of what they're there for the most part, really.
Yeah, but
scouring the environment to try and find more.
I don't remember finding Magnum ammo, so yeah, I wonder what that's about. That just seems really weird.
But yeah,
you know,
like
why would they do that?
That is one of the things that kind of separates the Revelation series from 4, 5, and 6. Like, they are all ultimately first-person shooters, but Revelations... Well, the most beyond the fact that enemies don't drop any sort of supplies, in fact, the one other aspect is the significantly lesser focus on melee attacks. Like, from Resident Evil 4 to 5 to 6, the melee attacks got more prominent. In Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 4 that's kind of what Revelations is now, because in RE4, you shot an enemy in the head, you do like a roundhouse, or you shot them in the knee, and you could do like a, it was like another kind of roundhouse, basically. Or it was like a suplex. Yeah, I remember now, because when you faced the cultists, it was a suplex, but for the villagers, it was another kind of roundhouse for whatever reason. But then RE5 came along, and then with these fucking neck snaps and all that, and like the melee combat became a lot more focal. And then RE6 came along, and you know, setting aside the quality of it, like the design of the game was still very different, because now you could just fucking press a button at any time without requiring a prompt to just start doing all these free-forming melee attacks. Like the melee attacks were just as key to the design of the game as the shooting was, but Revelations took that back. Like the first game, you basically had one single type of melee attack, and in itself was also pretty different, because it wasn't just shooting enemy in the head. Like every enemy had their own unique weak point. Like the primary ooze zombie things, you had to shoot their hands, and then that would daze them, and then you can go in and you could charge your melee attack, and that was it. That was basically your one melee attack. And Revelations 2 feels like it has gone back to basically what is RE4, because you're not...
Yeah.
The enemies you face, you're basically facing against the Ganados again, the Magini, that type
pretty
of enemy.
Pretty much,
yeah. But because you can now move and shoot, they are definitely a hell of a lot more aggressive. There is no more of this run up to you, then stop, you know, there's none of... They will just fucking rush at you. They'll leap through the air.
Yeah, and they'll dodge you too when you aim at them.
Yeah,
they'll,
yeah.
They'll shift away, and that's an interesting...
I mean, you know, they're much more akin to, say, the Haunted and the Evil Within, in that they are definitely that type of enemy archetype, in that they are zombie-like, but they're a lot more aggressive, and a lot, you know, they rush at you and they try to
yeah, they rush at you and in the hopes that they will, you know, get you, unlike the other enemies where they just kind of run at you, stop, and they're like, come on, shoot me,
because
you
get
those points.
Shoot. Yeah, that was part of the design. Yeah.
I quite like the enemies. I think they look kind of cool too. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. The designs of the enemies are pretty good, but the melee attacks again have gone back to RE4, because now it's basically just shoot them in the head and then do a kick on them. I mean, that's still basically, you also have like an attack. Well, obviously you have an execute as well, but for the campaign at least, only of course, only Moira can do that. Or Natalia. Oh god, Natalia's fucking brutal. Holy shit! I'm sure you've been able to smash one of those zombies' heads in with a brick. That took me by surprise. Holy man, that was surprisingly brutal. That really, that was the moment. Where I was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, Natalia. You are already a huge improvement from Moira alone.
Every time she breaks that brick
is not usable after that. She fucking breaks that brick on that zombie's head. It's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, go on, Natalia. Best new character of the year so far.
Oh, yeah.
Natalia.
It's a shame when we're going to have to kill her, but...
Maybe. We don't know so far. I do have some theories about where this is going.
Oh, yeah. She's clearly infected. I mean, well, she
I mean,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, the other ones.
They're wearing those wristbands, and you find a file. Also, files are back. Yeah, you can read stuff again.
Yeah.
And there's file explaining the different coloring of the bracelets. And yeah, hers is like red, which means she's infected. You should fucking shoot her in the face immediately. Although Barry has not read that file, I don't think. So Barry is not the nurse.
He can.
Oh,
but
yeah, I guess, yeah.
I guess it doesn't
there.
Matter, weirdly enough.
Also, one little weird quirk I realised. Apparently, all the characters can speak Russian. Because, like, there's that file, and it's, like, written in Russian. Apparently, they can understand it. So, apparently, Claire, Moira,
Barry...
Karasev
likes to keep them linguistic.
I guess. I mean, yeah, I don't know. This is the Resident Evil universe.
Keep them fresh.
Yeah, I guess this is part of the...
You know what it was? They injected him with the R virus, which gives them the knowledge of Russian language.
Oh, God! Sorry, not to like totally fucking talk all over your joke there, but that also reminded me. Like, where do you? The story, like as I mentioned before, the story is actually kind of interesting, and one part of it is because the Ouroboros is back. That's actually because like one thing that I always kind of thought was really annoying Resident Evil is like, and whenever there was like a new Resident Evil game, well, especially in the later entries, they always for whatever reason they always felt compelled to introduce another strain of virus. Like for the longest time, a new Resident Evil game equaled another virus, you know, because like Resident Evil 1 had the T virus, Resident Evil 2 primarily the T virus, but then also had the G virus, although the G virus was only for the boss monster, so that was okay. RE3 was only the T virus, but then we had Code Veronica, which was the T Veronica virus. Sorry.
Ooh.
Then we had Resident Evil 4, which was the Las Plagas, and then we had RE5, which was again the Las Plagas, but it was like a stronger type of the Las Plagas, a stronger variant. And then we had Revelations, which was the T Abyss virus. Then there was Dead Aim, which has the TG virus, and then fucking Resident Evil 6 had the C virus. It was getting out of control. But now
running out of
alphabets, pretty much. Yeah, they're running out of letters, I suppose. But and yeah, the Ouroboros was back, and I think that's a nice little throwback to, again,
is it, though?
You know.
I mean, is it? Did they say it was back?
Yeah, totally. Barry himself outright states that looks like the Ouroboros from the African report or whatever the fuck.
I just thought he said it. It looks similar. I figured it was going to turn out that they were, like, taking people from, or taking all the virus types. I don't know. I kind of had a thought that maybe this prison island is a research facility where somebody's capturing people with these viruses.
It's Saw.
And
it's
putting
Saw,
them there.
The video game. Or Saw, yeah. The other video game, because they're all actually, in fact, 2 Saw games already.
Yeah, and they're not very good.
I haven't played them, but I've always been curious to try them out. But
They're really lame.
But yeah, like Revelations 2, its influences are pretty clearly on its sleeve there. Like the prison environment and all that. Like you got the lady speaking over the over the little bracelets, talking to them, all that. I mean,
good old Jennifer Hale.
Mm-hmm. Is that Jennifer Hale?
The girl in the story is. I don't know who the girl in raid mode is, but it's not Jennifer Hale.
It's not Jennifer Hale because it sounds like Mary Elizabeth Glynn to me. The Silent Hill lady. The Silent Hill vocalist lady. That's what it sounds like to me anyway. Also, this is what happens because like, there's this whole game and I just want to keep going from aspect to aspect. But, okay, I'll say that for later. But where were we at? Yeah, Ouroboros. Ouroboros was back and I kind of think that's kind of cool. I don't know. I just kind of like that they're retreading old ground. It makes the universe feel more contained. I like that they're going back to the well in this case, because again, it just makes it. It gives it a consistency to it. It just kind of. I mean, again, it's like with the T virus. Like the T virus was the thing for the longest time, and yet
right.
For some reason, they just felt compelled to constantly keep reiterating and reintroducing these new fucking virus stands, and it got to be pretty comical. But yeah, I quite like that the Ouroboros is back.
See, when I hear that, I think I go to a different place. I go to a slightly more negative place, and it's not because Ouroboros is back. It just makes me wonder if because of the drastically lower budget comparatively, you know, to Resident Evil 6 what might be Resident Evil 7, it makes me wonder if they're just going to bring back everything we've seen before. Not everything, but some notable examples.
See, that's another good segue as well, because what I've noticed is that, there is a lot of the older games in this, especially RE6.
Oh, yeah.
Like, practically all of the animations from RE6 are in there. They've got some of the barrels. They've got some of the RE6 barrels. They've got...
The RE4 barrel makes a return as well.
Yeah, there's like a single RE4 barrel on, like, the beachhead, yeah. And also, we'll get this in more detail later, but raid mode, just to carry on with this, raid mode, because now raid mode has gestures, and I guess you wouldn't recognize this, but a good many of those gestures originate from Lost Planet 2.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There is a lot, and obviously there's the sprint, which is just straight up the RE6 sprint and all that. There's a lot of holdovers. And there's nothing wrong with that exactly, but... RE5, obviously, all of the animations from RE5 were just RE4s, essentially.
Right.
Like the genie moved, they were just the Ganado. They were just higher definition African Ganado, basically, from RE4. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but still, there's a lot in there, and I thought it was kind of... to see all that.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
I'm just kind of cynical on the Capcom as of late, and I just wonder if they did this to not be more expressive or to give people what they wanted or just so that they can say, well, we can make this really cheap, we'll make a lot of money, we'll put it into Resident Evil 7.
But they didn't have
to, though.
Because, like, Ouroboros was just like a bunch of squiggly tentacle shit, you know, with like orange pulsating bulbs to signify weak points. Like, they could just introduce that again and say, oh, it's fucking S-Virus, I don't know, fucking anything. They could do whatever they want, but instead, I feel like that's probably going to factor into the story, because one of the later trailers they released, the drama trailer, which is also pretty awesome, it's a really great trailer with a lot of really good, a lot of good quotes there, like a lot of really exaggerated quotes. They show a brief glimpse of someone, like, fucking stroking a photograph of Wesker. So not that, I fucking hope Wesker himself does not make yet another reappearance. But I feel like that is related. I feel like that is definitely related, because obviously Ouroboros was his baby. It was his thing. It was his fucking school project. That was
climbed
that
his way right out of that goddamn volcano once he heard that somebody else was using his project.
Yeah, that was his complete global.
Chris, copyright infringement, Chris.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny, actually, if Wesker, a fucking bloodied, still covered in molten lava Wesker, is fucking sued.
Oh, God.
Sued whoever this Revelations 2 villain is.
I'd be into that. Hell, I got the complete season coming. I guess I got no reason to.
Yeah,
they'll
be
out.
The bonus episodes. Fucking. Law and Order, fucking Resident Evil Island edition.
Oh, man.
That's
something I'd be playing. Yeah, all right, cool. You know what? I changed my mind. Episode 1 is amazing. I can't wait for the next episodes.
No, yeah.
That's just going to be great.
Like, yeah. I mean, speaking legitimately, like, I am. Like, I'm not going to say on here, I don't want to say on here, I want to talk in, like, broad strokes, but the twist at the end of the first episode was well handled. I liked it.
Yeah.
I was, well, yes, I would like to know more. I am totally on board. They have done a
good
job.
Oh, yeah, the Starship Troopers cross?
And when the fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just start fucking, they just jump out of that manhole and then fucking
great.
Regina from Dino Crisis fucking propels down the building, like, holy shit.
Well, we just spoiled everything for these people.
Oh, but I could. I know.
I apologize.
I kind of myself there, but they have to know. It's too boring.
I apologize.
You know, if that means they're going to play
listening.
It, then hell yeah.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Sorry I spoiled you, or my co-host spoiled it, or my other host, however we categorize that.
We're on the same level here, co-host,
yeah.
I'd say. Even though you're the one who's doing all the work, to be fair.
Sure, yeah. Even though he spoiled it for you, I apologize. Yeah. Words at Kill does not claim any responsibilities for wasted money because you pre-ordered the preseason or whatever it's called and then came to this podcast for whatever reason.
What did you right, buy then? Did you go for the complete season yourself, did you?
Yep, I got it all.
Game? Yeah, same here. Good.
I got Wesker.
So
I
did I,
turn
yeah.
A good
like,
Wesker
buying
down.
But buying the complete season, you get Hunk for free, but then also something Wesker. The whole business behind the whole, all of the business aspect behind this is, it's been a little murky, because it's Capcom, I guess, because...
Yeah, those microtransactions definitely threw me for a loop there.
Not really, it's just modern-day game design at this point.
I mean, you get very few weapon slots compared to, compared to what the DLC is selling. You know, you have 24 or 25 weapon slots, and then
but
you could
upgrade.
But I feel
like I'm always selling them. I feel like I'm always selling my weapons.
Well,
I never have. I've
it
never
doesn't
had
matter yet, but when they start adding in characters, and you're going to want independent guns for those characters, I could see that being a problem. I mean, for mods, there's only 75 slots, and I've got 30 mods now, and that's like not even
I think we should first start, like, we should probably provide a brief overview of what raid mode is, you know, first before we start talking, diving in deep into it. So raid mode, raid mode is like, it's not quite mercenaries.
It's like mercenaries without the time attack.
Yeah,
you kill all enemies.
Well, you don't have to. That's the thing. Raid mode is
In
the first Revelations, but raid mode is it is Revelations' own equivalent to the more action-focused minigame. Because like even in the survival horror entries, most Resident Evil games have always had a much more action-oriented minigame on tour. Even the very original, on the Sega Saturn had a battle game,
ooh.
And it was like, go into this room, kill all the enemies with the ammo you have, you know, try to maximize your potential, and then go into another room. It had existed since, like, the dawn of fucking time. And raid mode is, for the longest time, Mercenaries was kind of it. Mercenaries was kind of Resident Evil's own official minigame. But now, with Revelations, you've got raid mode, which is more akin to, an action RPG sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because you're leveling up characters, you're acquiring loot, there's all this math going on, there's all these stats.
You've got skills that you can upgrade independently.
Weirdly, funnily enough, like, if you, because obviously you can buy these episodes independently, I would feel like the first episode is totally worth the money purely for raid mode, because there is a lot on offer there.
The
first episode.
To segue here into raid mode, I should say that I was disappointed with the first episode of the Revelations 2 because
I didn't like the campaign.
Yeah, I didn't like any of Claire's stuff, but I think Barry pulled me around. So
absolutely.
I liked it, but I was still disappointed. Yeah. But, you know, $6, come on. That's still a pretty good value because, as you just said, I have been having so much fun with raid mode that I, you know, at some point it's really tough for me to put down. And even though I haven't beat all of the missions yet, I've beat most of them. And I don't know, I just can't stop. I'm like, okay, I'll log on today, do the daily challenge, get a bunch of XP. And I'm like, better do that mission. Daily missions are every day. They'll come up with two more missions. They're special because they give you a bunch of XP depending on what your level is.
And money.
And money. And then the second mission is character specific. It doesn't give you any money, but it does give you a bunch of experience points.
For that character.
I'm pretty sure it scales with your character because I tried to do one with a low level character and it was like 3,000 XP. Mm-hmm. And then I switched back to Barry, who's level 30 now, and it was like 79,000 XP. I've put in a ton of time with that.
I felt reluctant to go. I've played a fair bunch. I've gone through many of the different tiers, but one such level, like, there are enemies in the missions available that you don't face in the campaign. I don't like that.
Our friend Neil mentioned that it is weird that they would spoil the enemies that you're going to experience
absolutely.
In the later episodes.
Like, I mean, there's those dogs, which they had already unveiled beforehand, before the game was released. But then you have these giant fucking these fucking marshmallow things that, like, hurl these explosive fucking octopi, I guess, whatever the hell. Yeah, like, they are not in the campaign, and that environment isn't in the campaign either. So it was really weird why
it's probably just a map from Resident Evil 6, because
speaking of holdovers, like, 9 out of 10 maps you're going to encounter in this fucking raid mode thing is of Resident Evil 6. All of your favorite locales from everybody's favorite Resident Evil 6 release. They're obviously aware of the disdain Resident Evil 6 has acquired, and yet they're not letting go. They are not letting go of that game.
That's what I was talking about earlier about when I go somewhere else with that Ouroboros talk, because I don't know if you've seen it, but there are quite a lot of enemies in raid mode from Resident Evil 5 and 6, Executioner, those armored guys, those armored turtle-looking dudes from Resident Evil 6. They're there. Yeah, they're big armored guys. You got to shoot the armor off. They were in China somewhere.
I know the ones from 6, but I don't know them in Revelations 2.
Yeah,
I know the executioner type. Yeah, I mean, he's not the executioner type, but he is similar.
The executioner is in raid mode.
Oh. Okay, all right then. I didn't actually know that. I do know that Revelations 1 enemies are in there, because that chainsaw Skagdead thing, he's showing up in a mission.
Yeah, Tug's back, our buddy. Yeah. Buddy looking for some Tug, he's back. I was really excited to see him.
Apparently he's found his Tug, because there was no such,
Turns out Tug was a pre-order for Resident Evil Revelations 2! Oh, well, finally. Brand awareness.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he got his white whale, apparently. And for reference to that, because I'm sure not many people actually played Revelations, but that was a weird line. In Revelations 1, this enemy would always say, I need Tug, and to this day, I still have no idea what he's referring to.
Yeah.
So it became kind of like our own little personal meme sort of thing. It was just kind of funny. But in Revelations 2, that enemy reprises himself but does not need Tug anymore. So good for him, I guess. Good for him. Way to go, buddy.
Living the dream.
Nice little success story. But wow, I did not know. Straight up. Or, that's kind of cool, though. I kind of like that. I mean, yeah, you can see it as being kind of lazy. Let's just throw all the assets in there. But yeah. I don't know. Because that's kind of what I wished... Mercenaries 3D was like Mercenaries 3D.
Yeah, that's what I was. I don't have a 3DS, so yeah. I had no idea what that even was. But with a game called Mercenaries 3D, you would imagine that
it would just be the ultimate collection, the greatest hits of Mercenaries. When it was not, in fact, not. Like, it was meant to be a compilation of all the maps and, like, enemy assets from 4 and 5. It was only, like, half. Like, it didn't even contain all of the maps from both 4 and 5. It was a fucking travesty. It was ridiculous. But that's kind of, from the sound of things, that's kind of what this raid mode could be. Like, that raid mode could be, like, this fucking asset smoothie of all of these environments and enemies all put together with the specific mechanics of Revelations 2, and I'm totally okay with that. I mean, that's awesome. I kind of wish maybe they could do that with, say, RE5 gameplay, because if I'm being honest, I still feel like RE5 is still, in terms of, like, the core gameplay, like, RE5 overall, I think is flawed, but, like, the core shooting gameplay, I think RE5 is the pinnacle. Because I fucking love RE5's gameplay. I have spent so much goddamn time playing RE5's Mercenaries mode. I still think that is the pinnacle. So I kind of wish, you know,
it was. I don't have strong feelings about that, but I do agree that I think Resident Evil 5 was the best. I don't know if I wanted to play, or, you know, the shooting of course, but I don't know if I want to play more of that now because I kind of like where Revelations has gone, but I do.
Oh no, yeah. But like, if they were to announce like a fucking RE5 definite edition or whatever, like, I would be on that day one. I would be more than okay in playing RE5 again in 1080p 60 or whatever the fuck.
Oh yeah. 3D, yeah, you know. 4K, on the cloud, stream it over the Wi-Fi, download it, don't pirate, though, don't copy that floppy, all of that.
Hunk will probably be in there as well, because that's what he is now.
Sure.
He is Capcom's mascot at this point. He is the minigame mascot. For whatever reason, I don't know. I mean, I guess because he's a badass and a gas mask, I guess. But
is he? He could be a teddy bear, you know? He could literally be a teddy bear under that thing. We don't know.
Well, we do. It could be a code name.
His
face has totally been shown in the past.
But how do we know it's the same Hunk?
It could just be a code name that gets passed on from.
Ooh.
Yeah, this time it's Sean. This time it's Roger Moore.
Oh no! Here we go. He got infected by the H virus. And it turns him into a gas mask wielding maniac mercenary. There you go. I like it. Yeah, Capcom, you listening? Give me a call. You know where to find me.
Yeah. I think that's always weird how, like, Tofu never became the star. Because, like, Tofu is the prime candidate for what should be, like, a mascot. Like, a goofy little mascot. Like, and to this day, he has only actually starred in, like, 2 Resident Evil games. One,
is it
course,
a he?
You know what? I don't know. That's a good question, actually. It could be whatever you want it to be. Tofu is everything and anything. He is whatever you can implant yourself into Tofu. He is what you want it to be.
Yep, I'm in. I'm into that. I want Tofu.
That particular character has not been given the attention it deserves. It was in Resident Evil 2, and it was also like it originated as a collision detection model. It was totally a collision detector model. It was like, oh, let's put it in there. And they gave a dialogue. Like, when it would be bitten, it would just, like, say these random Japanese ad-libs and all that. One funny thing I remember is that when he would die, he would say, like, wanker, something like that. And for an English person, it the first thing that springs to mind is when it sounds like he is saying wanker as he goes down. You know what? That's an understandable. Funny. Like if I'm being munched on by zombies, I want my last words to be wanker.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. But there is actually a character in raid mode that we can't get right now. In fact, we probably won't be able to get him for a while. But
You need like 90 completionist medals to unlock. Yeah. I guess. Which isn't
even. Do you know who it is?
Do you?
I do. I actually just saw it like maybe an hour ago.
How did you find out? Is someone already unlocked it?
No.
It's impossible.
Maybe. Hell, I don't know. Somebody must have it by now.
I mean, because
modded PS4s. You can when you first start raid mode, you play this green simulation looking dude.
Yeah, like wireframes. Yeah.
And if you hold triangle, you'll notice you actually have lines. You have commands that you can issue, and he'll speak over a robot voice. And there's a character that's still locked because you need 90 completion medals, which is not too difficult, but it's a challenge where you have to get all 5 medals at the same time. You can't get one and then do it again and get the other. You have to get them all at once.
Which complete a mission on the recommended level, don't use herbs, kill all enemies, and something else. That's free. I can't remember. What's the fourth one?
I always forget.
Don't use herbs, kill everything, complete the level on complete the stage on the recommended level. And I think that might be it. No, it's definitely not, because there are 5
There are five.
Yeah, well, whatever. Regardless, whatever that focus
regardless.
Is. Yeah, that's, you need to also get that one, and then you.
Yeah,
also
you need to get 90 of those, which we cannot get.
A pretty tall order, yeah.
Yeah, and when you do that, you unlock him. His name is what's his name? Do you remember?
Don't tell me. I don't know. We should probably save that for when this podcast is finished, because I kind of want to know, but I don't want to. I don't want to have it on the airwaves, just to be
well,
fair.
Well, I will give you a heads up, though. Don't check the raid mode statistic menu thing, because he is at the bottom, and it tells you his name.
Really? Okay, well, no, I want to know, I just don't want it to be said out loud. Okay, I currently have raid mode playing, so I need to check, I need to see for myself. So, raid records, is it?
I believe so. And not the leaderboard. Not the leaderboard. The other thing, where you could check the medals you've earned.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is. Okay. Yeah. This is a name. I don't know who it is. Do you know who it is?
Yeah. I just said it's the green guy.
Oh, that's the character.
Yeah.
Oh.
Our good friend Neil actually told me that he bets that the green guy turns out to be an unlockable character, and sure enough. That name sounds like what you would imagine that green guy to be.
Oh, that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah. don't worry. They're going to, put other characters.
Oh, yeah. They're going to... Yeah. They've said there's like 15 characters. But, of course, what that means is, again, like the levels themselves, they are just dumping in everything. Because, like, Hunk's in it, but, like, it's the RE4 Hunk. Like, that character model is so very blatantly the RE4 Hunk. He is not
then
going to be done anyway.
I better get Parker, is all I'm saying. Complete season.
Yeah,
need this.
Jill Valentine is in it, but it's Revelations 1 Jill Valentine. But, to the detail, like, she looks kind of... She looks out of place, even.
Her lips look... Her lips look very weird.
Her teeth look diseased. Like, when you go through all the gestures, and she, like, most of them, of course, involve her, like, opening her mouth, and it's like, oh, God, close those lips together. Jesus Christ, I feel like I can smell the breath over here.
Seems like they made a critical error in porting that model over somehow.
Yeah, the work has been minimal. And then also Wesker, of course, and Wesker is just RE5 Wesker.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Not even Stars Wesker. You know, the biggest fear I have is that they're gonna... Oh, never mind. They've got skins. I thought that maybe they would add another character, but that character would have a different skin, kind of like Resident Evil 5 Mercenaries, where each skin was its own unique character. Yeah. But then I remember, you could buy skins on the PSN right now.
Have you bought any of them?
No, they're like fucking
£8.
They're so expensive.
It's crazy.
I'm not paying for that.
That's
and one of them terrible. You can't even use because Natalia is not even available in raid mode.
And they all look terrible. They're all fucking terrible. They're all horrible. Yeah. They're all stupid. Like Claire's got some sexy cowgirl costume. It looks ridiculous. Moira's got like another sexy ninja, and Barry, unfortunately, is just like a business guy rather than a sexy.
Oh no, he's a Civil War commander. A sexy Civil War commander.
But he's not, though. He's just... Well,
On the back of his jacket, he says, party in the back, and there's, like, an arrow pointing downwards. You know what he's talking about.
Why, fair enough. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Barry likes to get down.
Well, he does have this, so...
Yeah. And it's really powerful against living things.
Especially against living things.
Which is the worst thing to have in a mansion filled with zombies, by the
exactly.
way.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Of all things. Yeah.
I like that Barry's just like, oh, right, I've planned for this moment my whole life. Check it out. Oh, wait, no? Ah, oh, okay. It's not even a weapon. I lied the whole time. Way to go, Barry. Ah, it's goddamn grenade launcher rounds. How do you make that mistake? But, yeah, anyway, I quite like what I've played, even if the stealth kills are weird. They just feel weirdly out of place. I don't know.
It's a very obvious, not quite homage, but like as you mentioned earlier, like they have taken some influences, game design wise, and one such example was The Last of Us. But it doesn't feel like the movement. I can see where you're coming from, but this does not feel like The Last of Us. There's the stealth kills, I guess. I mean, they're there. These days, like, every game is fucking stealth kills. Like, they're really easy. They are the easiest mechanic to implement for anything. Just like, oh, if you can catch an enemy who's got his back to you, you can press a button and get a stealth kill. It's just as, you know...
If you walk backwards, it's Barry. He does an animation similar to Joel's animation when he backs up. That if you turn the camera so you could see in front of Barry, you will see that his arms are actually clipping straight through a stone.
Yeah, that's because like every character in this game has the exact same animations.
Mm-hmm.
In previous games there was the male model, then the female character model, but it's all loose. Everyone's everyone now. I don't know. I guess it's just Capcom's way of being super progressive, I suppose. Everyone's the same. Mm-hmm. But it just looks weird, because, like, yeah, Barry is obviously a little wider than Claire, so his hands are kind of practically sticking into his skin. Some real body horror shit going on there.
Oh, well, it's Resident Evil, you know. But
fair point.
Before I forget, did you find out the name of the girl talking to you in raid mode?
Well, it's supposed to be the same woman from the campaign, the jigsaw equivalent, that lady. It's the same.
Do you know her name, though?
I don't know her name, no.
Oh,
she's the
Red Queen.
Oh, from what? From the movie?
I assume so. If you go to the voice logs.
Well, that's just a code name, I'd like to. Okay, that also leads me into one of my theories here. It's probably nothing.
Let us have it.
Yeah,
Words That
like,
Kill podcast exclusive Resident Evil Revelation 2 theory. Here we go.
I guess so. I guess it is technically exclusive because I'm not in any other podcast, but it's still just speculation. Because like in raid mode, there's a character called Gina, and she's nobody. She's just some bit character who you see running away, and then she comes to you and she's dead, and that's her whole role. However, one thing I noticed, her appearance has a striking similarity.
Yep. Jessica Shirawat.
Leon S. Kennedy. Let's just keep running down the names. She brings to mind the character of, I say character in quotes, Rachel from the first Revelations.
Oh, I don't think she looks like Rachel at all.
I think she totally does, though, because like she has. She has a very similar hairstyle. Because like Rachel, she was nothing. She was just a fucking pair of tits, is what she was. She was a terrible character.
She wasn't a character.
No, absolutely not.
The first time you see her, she dies. She does not exist in that game.
And
in
then
that
she turns
state,
into like a giant ooze, fucking hentai creature of sorts, and then she keeps hounding you. She's kind of like the Nemesis equivalent in that she'll keep hounding you through the game.
She's a worse Nemesis.
But this Gina character, like. Her hair isn't quite the same, because like Rachel had like the dumbest character design I can recently recall, because like her hair was like literally covering her eyes. She's got this crazy cleavage, and so does Gina, and like I can see some resemblance, so I'm wondering. And another thing is like when they first released the teaser trailer for Revelations 2, Rachel was in there. Rachel was very clearly in there, just hanging out in this party, you know, just standing there, all eerie like. So I don't know why they put her in there, because like I can't imagine Rachel is an especially beloved character. Oh, I don't know, I'm sure she has her fans, but you know, a certain subset of people certainly, you know, like to do some fan art, if you know what I'm saying. But like, it's weird why. But that's what I'm wondering though.
If she's gonna fill that role. Number one, I hope not, just because that would be really lazy.
Like, it'd be really stupid. Like, who? What? Really? But yeah, I'm wondering if she like, if again, it could be like a jigsaw sort of thing. Like, oh, you thought she was dead the whole time, but she's actually been alive. Whatever. So, and also her voice, like, because part of the gestures are also voiced. So you can hear her voice, and she has the same voice as this Red Queen lady, or very similar. So, and yeah, like, why would they put her in there? Because or maybe it's because, like, I don't know, we have this character model, we might as well use her.
Do you think that they might be putting some kind of weird metagaming story mode in raid mode, that you get these weird voice files to help put the story together somehow?
I don't know. I have no likely. I don't know. I think
because raid mode is really weird. It's like you're in a simulation. You're not even in the real
world. You're not playing with these characters. You're just you, basically. You're like some sort of test subject or something like that.
Yeah.
And she is like putting you through these trials for her own sick amusement or whatever the hell. Yeah. It has like a premise. There's not really a story there. She will occasionally chirp in so on and so forth, just saying, "Hey, good job," or whatever.
Yeah,
but
makes me wonder if the biggest revelation of all is going to be you get to the end of the fifth episode or the fourth episode, all the bonus episodes, whatever, and you find out that all of these characters have been missing for all this time. They've been locked away in the simulation room, and then you just play as Chris, and he shows up, and he's like, "Yeah,"
of course you do,
shoots the Red Queen, and then game over. They ride off into the sunset on the biggest helicopter known to man, because there's like 40 characters now.
Chris himself is a helicopter. They just fucking ride on his bike.
But then, as the helicopter flies into the sunset, the camera pans down into the remains of an old dormant volcano. And crawling away across the bottom of the ocean floor, you hear, "Crash!" Dun dun dun. To be continued. Resident Evil Revelations 3.
Teams up with fucking Kazuya. Why not?
Oh my god!
All these volcano victims. Volcano Victims Anonymous. Yeah.
See. This is why we need to work for Capcom. This is why we need a job. And Namco. Mm-hmm. Sure, the Tekken reboot that everybody's
totally
been waiting for.
Tag team in like the next Namco cross Capcom, whatever the hell.
Oh, jeez. I don't know if I can handle that.
But yeah, I feel like we have talked about most of what the first episode entailed. Like, overall, I quite enjoyed it, although, yeah, I can... Like, the co-op, Moira in particular, is kind of a misfire. She doesn't quite work when playing solo.
Uh-huh.
It's still tutorializing. It doesn't quite feel like it's opened up yet, but again, it's only the first episode of 4, including 2 bonus, which who knows what the fuck that'll be about. Raid mode, however, is a promising start. I like what they've done. They have improved upon raid mode from Revelations 1 drastically. It feels like there's a lot more metagame to it. There's a lot more customization potential.
And it's
like,
also not as grindy. You level up quickly. You go.
Even in the higher levels. Every mission I've played, I've like completed in one go. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. I mean, although Revelations was like that to begin with as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
It may reach a point. The only problem, however, is that this, until the whole physical release is released, there's no co-op for raid mode. There's still local, but no online co-op. Although, unlike the campaign, raid mode will at least eventually get online co-op.
Well, you can use SharePlay.
There is
the split screen.
And the levels themselves are pretty short.
That's true. I finished most of them in 5 minutes or so, mm-hmm. give or take.
So yeah, that option is there, but they've also proven to be pretty easy so far.
Yeah,
I don't think I have required.
I ran out of ammo once. That got real rough. Managed though, you know.
If I am playing the recommended level, I will get through it. Like the only time I won't be able to complete a level is if I am like leveling up a different character and that character is severely leveled, and you just can't compete. So that's basically the only occurrence where I feel like I'm really struggling. Otherwise, I'm pretty able to get through most levels. The enemies are typically a lot slower overall. I've noticed from the campain, a lot of the enemies are actually weirdly slow.
They don't seem slower. They seem like they're missing frames. It's the weirdest thing.
They're just like. I feel like the frames are all there. Oh, speaking of which, on PS4. Pretty good frame rate, got to admit.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's quite 60, but that frame rate is surprisingly high, so...
When you go outside, it's Barry. That thing really takes a tank, but...
Oh, yeah, the fog. It's not terrible by any means, but it only stands out because of Claire's sequence. Like, the frame rate is surprisingly smooth. I mean, they have made sacrifices elsewhere, but it's pretty not bad.
Budget.
They've done good by it.
Yeah.
Considering how it's always a gamble about... How well these fucking games are gonna run on consoles? Like, I always appreciate it when a game comes through So, good on you, Capcom.
Yeah, good on you, Capcom. I share similar complaints. I think it's troubled, but I'm excited to know more.
Oh, that is the best thing I can say about it. I've already paid for it, so I might as well play it. So, I don't feel compelled to play it purely because I bought it. I want to see where this goes. I want to see what happens. Like, funnily enough, like the story has actually proven to be quite a hook. I'm engaged, and I
agree.
Like to learn more. Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Indeed. So.
Well, I guess that about wraps it up for our Resident Evil Revelations 2 special episode.
You have already written up your blog. You have already written up your piece. You have posted it on the internet.
I have
also currently in the middle of writing my own. It's taken me a really fuck ton of time. Although I feel like I'm just going to be reiterating a lot.
The intro music for this podcast is Retro Future Dirty by Kevin MacLeod at incomptech.com, incomptech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0.